Let's talk about the rest of the Blueprinter group, starting with the Blueprint designers. Now, the designers were in charge of taking the vision that the originators came up with and making it beautiful. They designed it to be not just functional, but also pretty. So they are very creative, very artistic souls that thrive on artistic self-expression. Again, they are very rare in our practice. They are just way busy creating their art, and that's just what they do all day long. They may have a very distinct point of view or perspective within their art that can make them very successful, although they may not be able to express themselves well in other ways. So these are the typically, kind of reclusive artists. Like, all they do is sit in their studios 12 hours a day, and they barely ever come out to eat or shower or engage with other people. Not all of them are socially inept, but that is sort of that stereotype of the artist that is totally consumed with their work. Often, that's what blueprint designers are like, because they're here doing what they're here to do, which is to create and make things beautiful from their point of view. And often their art energetically contributes to raising consciousness on our planet. So this is really how they contribute to collective consciousness. It's through their art. Now, the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is getting lost in their art. So they may struggle with the mundane aspects of life, such as needing to, earn money. And they can become the typical distracted artistic type that has no patience for normal social conventions. They may also create art that only they understand and nobody else appreciates. So this may cause them to withdraw even further into their art. So if nobody gets it, they just spend more and more and more time making their art, but it's almost like they disconnect, and everything that they're here to express, they can get very frustrated because nobody seems to understand it. So that is where the dysfunctional aspect can come in for blueprint designers, but often they're just incredibly artistic and very talented people. Now, the technicians are actually very common. They come into our practice a lot. So blueprint technicians, you can imagine as the engineers of the soul group. So they were tasked with the practical implementation of the originator's vision. So the originators come up with kind of the vision, and then they gave it to the engineers and say, okay, make it work. How does this actually function? How do we engineer this? And the blueprint technicians were the ones in charge of actually, how do we get the soul into a physical body? I mean, think about that. That's kind of tricky. So because they were directly responsible for engineering spiritual consciousness to integrate with the physical body, they are the most karmically tied to humanity of all the blueprinters, which is why they incarnate a lot and also have to come to grips with what's going on our planet. And so they do come to us for assistance quite a lot. Now, they're very rational, highly mentally oriented, and very studious. They love to study. The emotional body is a little mysterious to them because it's an unexpected side effect of merging the mental with the physical. They, like Alpha Centaurians a little bit, they can understand emotion, but they don't feel it as much. And when they do feel a lot of emotion, they don't like it. It kind of is like, oh, what do I do with this? This isn't necessarily supposed to be here. They certainly don't want to make their choices from that space. And they can actually shut down their emotions at times and become overly rational, and then again make very negative choices and kind of self-sabotage because they're trying to be too rational just because they're so uncomfortable with their own emotions. But when in doubt, they'll always try to do what's rational. Sometimes they also don't realize that they are making very emotionally based decisions and that they've just rationalized them so much that they can't even tell anymore that that was actually an emotional decision and not a rational one. Now, they're very oriented towards functionality. How do things work? So they are often engineers. doctors, scientists, software developers, or business people, and they can be highly innovative in their fields just because they have this curiosity. Hey, if I take this apart, how do I put it back together? How does it work? Whether that it is a business or the human body or the human psyche, doesn't matter. They just want to know how things function. They are forever seeking greater knowledge and may also be drawn to research and the study of human potential. So they really can be incredible engineers of mindset, both in themselves and others, if they're willing to question their own thinking. They're not always willing to question their own thinking because they think of themselves so rational and reasonable and intelligent, and they usually are. But intelligent people can come up with really smart rationalizations. And blueprint technicians don't always question their own rationalizations. They just like to think that they are right. So sometimes that can shoot them in the foot. They're often highly intelligent. They make excellent teachers because they develop a very thorough understanding of whatever their subject matter expertise is. They can also veer towards arrogance regarding their intellectual abilities and knowledge. Now, the dysfunctional aspect I've already touched upon, it's rationalization. I mean, they want to see themselves as logical, rational people, and they don't realize that we all have an infinite capacity to rationalize errors in our own thinking. If they're just not willing to examine their own thinking critically, they do just insist on being right. And then they can also end up seeing their own belief system as the only valid one. I have spent more time arguing, having intellectual debates, not really arguments, but intellectual debates with blueprinters who are not at all into the new age or metaphysical mindset. They're really not into spiritual development. And so they want to know, well, how does your modality work? And then they try to prove to me that it doesn't, which, you know, they're not going to win that argument, right? Because I'm like, I have a lot of evidence that this works. And they don't really like that at all. If they can't wrap their brains around it, it just irritates them. And so they have this very rational approach that if they're not open-minded to realms beyond the mind, you know, they just shut that right down and discredit that that even exists. Now, of course, there's also lots of blueprint technicians, such as our clients, who are extremely open-minded. They understand that there's more to us than just the mind, right? And so then they're very open-minded. They want to understand how the soul works. We have a lot of blueprint technician students as well as clients in this modality because it is really the study of the soul and consciousness. Now, they are, though, often highly self-identified at the level of mind without necessarily developing emotional self-awareness. And that can lead to a lot of projection that is very rationalized as well. So, blueprint technicians, they're so smart that when they get triggered, they often project that outside of themselves, but then they also rationalize why them doing that is okay. And it's very hard to cut through that. So for your blueprint technician clients, you always have to encourage them to question their own thinking. And the best way to do that is to point to their results and go, well, okay, that all sounds good and smart and reasonable, but it's not working. So if you're not getting the results you want, then clearly there's an error in your thinking. See, now that makes so much sense that then they're like, oh, yeah. If they're willing to do self-examination, pointing to their results will really help them go there. So once they're opened up, I mean, that's the thing. They're so inquisitive and smart that when they are willing to see that there's an error in their thinking or that they're missing something, they're all on board and they can create incredible results and changes in their lives really, really quickly because they're very smart people. But if they have this insistence on being right and they're not open to questioning their own thinking, they can really get themselves in trouble and self-sabotage, but in a very intelligent kind of a way that is hard to cut through with reason, you know, or a different way of thinking. Now, blueprint deliverers were like the factory workers. If the technicians were the engineers, you know, these are the souls that actually got into the trenches and did the hard labor and promoted consciousness from within the human experience. So it's like the originators came up with a vision, the designers made it pretty, the technicians were like, oh, here's how we're gonna make it work. Then they gave it to the deliverers and were like, okay, now do it. Get in there. Okay, so deliverers were the ones who actually like did the grunt work, so to speak. They were the first blueprinter souls to actually incarnate into a human physicality, lucky them. And they tend to promote greater consciousness from within the less conscious aspects of our society. Now, they're very socially active. Often they're educators, social workers, they run nonprofits, charitable organizations, or work in the healthcare field. So they're very hands-on with their efforts to change the world. And this is, they're here to deliver the blueprint. So they literally get into a body to deliver what is available and possible to us. And they do that in less conscious aspects of society a lot. Now, they're very inclusive. They want to make sure everybody has access to the same resources. They often find a lot of success in social enterprise. Now, of course, we all are equally the powerful creators of our own experience, but deliverers are highly invested in making sure that this is understood in all aspects of our society. So really, they promote consciousness wherever they can. So they still get in the trenches, and equality is very important to them. They've done a lot to promote human rights and equality throughout our history. The thing is, they have to be careful that they don't exhaust themselves trying to help people who really don't want to help themselves. So blueprint deliverers need to learn to take, no, I don't want to help myself, for an answer and just move on. Because man, they can really try to lead a horse to water, which is exhausting to them and kind of annoying to the horse. So while we can certainly promote the message of equality and empowerment, deliverers must learn that many people don't want the responsibility that comes with power and are actually choosing unconsciousness or lack of consciousness. It's a choice, because consciousness creates responsibility as well as power. And so a lot of people are like, la la la, I don't want it. They just want to do blame and victimization. And blueprint deliverers can sometimes feel like they're banging their head against a wall. They're like, but look. And they can get very, very frustrated and exhausted. So they often find themselves leading horses to water. So the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is disempowerment. They may focus so much on the inequality that seems to exist on our planet that they forget that we are, in fact, all divine beings who are creating our experience through choice and always have been. So they can get very disempowered, where it's almost like they adopt the consciousness that they're trying to change instead of upholding power and responsibility for others. They're just like, fine, I kind of give up. Maybe not everybody can create what they want. And then they go into this disempowered place. They're just spending too much time within a disempowered environment, and they start kind of taking that on instead of rising above and taking other people with them. They may see others as helpless and in need, and actually contribute to the disempowerment of the people that they are trying to serve. Now, they're not consciously contributing to the disempowerment, but that's kind of what ends up happening. Now, blueprint changers are yet another aspect of the blueprint groups. Now, if the technicians were the engineers, the deliverers were the factory workers, then the blueprint changers were the fixers that clean up the more unpalatable, darker issues that arise from integration with the physical body. I mean, we're taking the soul and putting it into a physical body, which, you know, has a lot of survival instincts, a lot of animal instincts. There is an unpleasant side to the human experience. And the blueprint changers really had to deal with the polarity of the emotional body. Yes, we can feel joy. We can also feel tremendous anger, right? And so the blueprint changers had to figure out how to make this work so that we weren't all constantly killing each other. And for a long time, We were constantly killing each other. So the blueprint changers have been trying to fix this for a very, very long time, and they're very tired. So they will frequently incarnate into situations of violence or find themselves dealing with victimization, sexual abuse, slavery, human trafficking, all so that they can bring consciousness to these issues on our planet. Now, they can find great success by embracing a cause, often something they themselves have overcome. So they can really create a huge impact by inspiring others who are still dealing with the same obstacle, but they sometimes incarnate into really, really tough situations. They really do. This is the role that they've taken on. The thing is, though, it doesn't have to stop them. It really doesn't. Because they will incarnate into difficult situations so that they can rise above and then show others how to rise above. And they can create tremendous success for themselves. So we never want to think of them as disadvantaged souls. We really don't. They're very powerful. Now, the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is victimization. Because they may lead very difficult lives as they become caught up in the situation they wish to change. So rather than being the change they want to see in the world, they actually end up seeing themselves and others as victims. They can become caught up in hardship and negativity and aggression rather than bringing new consciousness to these situations. So if you get a blueprint changer in your practice and they've had a rough experience, it really helps them to understand that that rough experience is really going to serve them in creating success, and that they need to take what they've overcome and help others overcome the same thing. And that's really their path to abundance.